You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. Now I imagine I am like many of you in that I have no recollection of my baptism. But I do know what happened there because I saw baptisms in my church growing up because my parents talked with me about that day. I know that the baptismal font would have been lowered from the ceiling by the organist with a flip of the switch, descending from the heights above the chancel. I know that in my case, water that was used for my baptism was from the Jordan River. It was left over from a previous baptism. That my parents would have stood by with my sister watching. I know that the mark of the cross was made on my forehead in oil and that I heard the words, Brian, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Now, I have no direct memory of this event or of many other events. Like my birth, Dad's first words were, he's bigger than Kathy. Or of some of the silly things I said as a child one time when my Nana took a little longer with grace when she finished. I apparently looked up and said, Baptists pray long. But even though I don't have a memory of them, these events, like my baptism, shape my life because they happened. So what is this strange washing in water that Christians of all flavors point to as having deep meaning and significance in our lives and in our faith? What is it really? How do we think about it? And what, if anything, does this do to us? Well, our readings today can help us understand this washing that is more than a mere bathing. Now, regardless of whether they baptized infants or adults, Christians believe that baptism affirms our true identity just as it did for Jesus. In our gospel, Jesus, having been baptized with everyone else off screen, is praying in conversation with God. And it is then that the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the bodily form of a dove. And a voice came from heaven speaking to Jesus, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Now this is not the first time in the Gospel of Luke that the heavens have opened for a divine announcement, is it? When did we last see this kind of divine announcement? That's not a rhetorical question. When did we last see that? just about 15 days ago or so? Christmas Eve? The angels, right? And they announced that a child, a Savior, was born. This is also not the first time that Jesus' identity is affirmed, but it's the first one that we know Jesus heard directly. Mary, through the angel Gabriel, is told Jesus will be God's son, right? The shepherds bear witness that they heard this child will be our Savior. Last week, we heard Simeon and Anna affirm that understanding that Jesus was the Messiah. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled, for my eyes have seen the salvation of your peoples. And so now we get this final affirmation of Jesus' identity. God claims what is God's. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Figuring out who we are, not just our name, but who we are, is essential for human beings, isn't it? You see this particularly in the struggle among our youth. In fashion trends, memes on social media, language that is used, it's an attempt to find and create identity. You can see all kinds of rituals in other cultures and religions associated with moments like this. Rituals that signal to everyone involved, this moment is unlike any other. It has weight and significance. And for Christians, this ritual is baptism. A baptism that mirrors that moment that so transformed Jesus' life. Because the witness of all of the Gospels is that this baptism was a catalyst for the start of his ministry. It's also a ritual that is commanded by Jesus himself. Go, therefore, into the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, claiming others as beloved children of God with whom God is well pleased. And it's in this ritual of water, words, oil, that we are given our true identity. Remember last week that Jesus is truth? The world may lie to us about who we are, just like that story of Margaret from last week, but God in Jesus does not lie. God and Jesus tells us that we are beloved children of God. And so in baptism, we have been given this great gift. How many of you have struggled to figure out who you were in your teen years or even beyond? But the core of our identity is already given to us. When that dove-shaped font rose back up into the rafters at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Charlotte, I knew from that moment on that not only was I Brian, son of Jean and James, a middle swarth, but I was also Brian, beloved child of God, claimed and sealed by God and God's love, a part of this wonderful group of other baptized and beloved children of God, that is the church. And I was reminded of that identity each time we went to church as a family. Each time Mom read Bible stories to me as a child. Each time we prayed before bed and before meals as faith permeated every aspect of our lives. Because that's who we were. And that's what we do. So even when I struggled in those years to figure out what being Brian Middleswarth, child of God, meant in particular, I had a foundation that I could build the rest of my identity on. A human being who excelled in building their identity on this core one as beloved child of God was Jimmy Carter. And certainly we can look to him for that kind of guidance. Second, baptism reminds us that it is always God who acts first, not us. It is God who claims us in baptism. And not because of anything we've done. Just look at our reading from Isaiah 43. God says, it's because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Because of that, I will give away even nations for your life. The starting point for God in the relationship with us is that we are precious, honored, and loved. And that is why God claims us in this public and powerful way. It's not because we are baptized that we are loved. We are loved, so God claims us in baptism. Now, wait a minute, you might say. The parents bring their child to the font. The adult says, hey, I want to be baptized. How is that not us acting? Well, yeah, in that immediate way they do, but why are they up there? They're there because God has acted on others in and through those waters. Because God has promised to do so, and we've seen the results of that. They go up because God acted first. And that's why we, as Christians who happen to be Lutheran, practice primarily infant baptism, to illustrate that this is God's work, not ours. Because what can a child do to earn God's love and grace? Not a darn thing. All infants do is pee, poop, and puke, and they eat and drink so they can do the other three. And so in bringing an infant to the font, we proclaim the wonderful mystery that is God who comes to us, claims us as God's child, loves us, is proud of us. What a powerful statement, especially in our society where it seems that our worth is tied to what we do, what we bring to the table. What school you went to, what grades you get, how much work you produce, how much you earn, what your family's like, what your online presence is, how many friends or subscribers or likes that you get. Infant baptism reminds us that all we can really do is receive the gift of God's grace and live into the identity that we have been given. We do not do anything but just be who we are. I cannot be anything but a metal swarth. Something that I have not chosen but that was given to me. In the same way, I cannot be anything but a claimed child of God. Something given to me. Baptism gives us our identity, the one that shapes all other aspects of who we are. And it reminds us that it is God who comes to us. God always comes to us. As our scripture says, where can I go where you are not? I go to the highest mountain, you're there. I go to the deepest depth, you're there also. Or as Paul writes, neither height nor depth, nor things past, nor things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In the best way possible, God's love will always hunt us down. We also believe a third thing that is most important, and that is our baptism is an ever-present reality. It is not a once-and-done event, but a past action that has ongoing effect. It has been done and it is being done daily. Martin Luther put it this way in a sermon on this day in 1534. Whoever is in sin, stick them in the baptismal water, and their sin will be extinguished. Whoever is in death, stick them in the baptismal water, and death will be swallowed up. For baptism has divine power, the power to break sin and death. That's why we are baptized. If later we fall into error or sin, we have not thereby demolished our baptism. We return to it. And we say, God has baptized me, plunged me into the baptismal water of his Son, of the Father and the Holy Spirit. There I return. And I trust that my baptism will take away my sin, not for my sake, but for the sake of the man Christ who instituted it. As Christians who happen to be Lutheran, we understand that any time we are around and in water, we are reminded of our identity, of who we are, claimed child of God, made a saint by God through the waters of this baptism. And by returning to that claim, that promised identity, we shed all these other things that come upon us. When you are reminded that you are a beloved child of God, chosen by God, when you're reminded of those things, you cannot be a sinner anymore. You can't be worthless anymore. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. We've been given this wonderful gift, to be chosen as children of God, claimed by God, made new in these waters, loved beyond anything even our parents can give. Does this identity shape your life? Does it soak into everything that you do? Friends, it is never too late to return to these waters and remind yourself who and whose you are, and live in that identity. And if this is an identity that you do not have yet, it is never too late to receive it, to feel that water over your head, to hear those words of truth, "Beloved child, you are mine. With you I am well pleased." And that's why we place the font where it is. These are the waters that we pass through to come even to the table, placed here to remind us of God's claim on us, even as we come to this table to be reminded that in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we too have died and been raised. That our identity is as beloved children, even as we are fed for the forgiveness of sin and the strengthening of faith. And so in this season, I would invite us to return to that practice of dipping our fingers into those waters and tracing the sign of the cross on our forehead and reminding ourselves that we are baptized, chosen, beloved children of God. And even when you're not in this space, when you're washing your face, or maybe you're finished washing the dishes or your hands, you take a moment and do the same thing. To remind ourselves of this truth that too often the world makes us forget. And on this baptism of our Lord Sunday, may we all be reminded of the truth of who we are, child of God, claimed by God in love, and then go forth this day to live this ever-present reality of that claiming. Thanks be to God.